This is what should be done. I, one who is skilled in goodness, and who knows the path of peace, let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Whatever another, let or despise any being in any state, let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Anyway, so clearly, since I'm early, I can take requests. If any of you have any theme of meditation, or you know, maybe there's a topic that you'd like to, that you're working on, you know, maybe life is giving you some manure to dig in to your garden, and you'd like some gardening tips. We get a lot of young guys coming up to the monastery, and I have to introduce them. This is a shovel. You hold this end, and this other end is for going into the ground. No, but anyway, coming back to my serious question is, if they wouldn't mind sharing, is there anything you'd like us to work on tonight? You know, it's a good starting point for me with the meditations. I can pull something out of my toolbox and talk about how I would tackle it in some ways. Maybe that would be insightful to you.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Of husbands.
That's
a great topic. I actually was very keen to do that, but anyway.
Meditation to cope with pain.
Pain? What kind of pain?
Oh, you know,
with pain in the body and pain in the heart.
Joint pain, you know, physical pain.
Physical pain.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, you can cover both, pain in the body, pain in the heart.
Well, yeah, the Buddha called it the two darts of suffering, right? So one is the dart of the physical body, and then there's the dart meaning what we do with the pain and how we can really make it very painful.
I have one. I don't know how you judge it, it's not simply, but...
No, but is this personal to you and it's affecting you now?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
When you're talking to yourself, like, for example, when you're talking to yourself, when you're talking to who? I mean, is there is it separate? If I'm talking to myself, I'm not.
Self-talk or just that inner dialogue?
Yeah, you know, you can almost have like a discussion with yourself and run.
Sure.
And it's the same thing that you're talking to yourself. Puzzles me.
Well, you know, like there's two major types of talking to ourselves, right? There's talking harshly and talking nicely. So one is more problematic than the other. So, but there's also the ability to talk to ourselves as such, the inner dialogue. And, you know, I mean, it's all we can say is that this is the nature of the mind. You see this? This is what we define as matter, right? In Pali we call this rupa. Rupa means matter. But the thing that bends towards the matter, the thing that knows that is matter, is called mind. So mind is called nama. Nama in Pali means the ability to name something. So when the mind as such knows something, it bends towards it. You know, it gives it attention, it bends towards it, and it names it. So nama is the thing that names things. So this is the Buddhist understanding of mind. So mind knows that this is material, but this material doesn't know about the mind. It doesn't have that ability, it doesn't have that property. So this water has this property of being wet. And water, if you mix it with flour, it makes things stick together, right? Or concrete. So water has this ability of being sticky or cohesive. Water has weight. It has this property of weight. So there are many, many properties of material things, right? So similarly, there are properties of the mind. The mind has its own properties. It has its own fundamental nature. And that's what we have to do, is to sort of come to recognize its properties. You know, like my hand, you know, doesn't speak to me. You know what I mean? Like if I went into the hospital next door saying my hand is speaking to me, they'd say, "That's okay. We're going to give you some diazepam or something like that, and you'll be okay for a while," you know? So we know that this matter doesn't speak, but it's the mind that is speaking. So I'm just trying to explain to you, you asked me this question, and that's how this mind of mine is understanding it. So what we really need to do is to try to use this matter, this ability, or this property of the mind skillfully. All right. So just as we would refine the water to make pure water and it's not toxic for us to drink, so if we can also refine the mind, we can make it a kind of a pure mind as it's beneficial to our welfare and happiness. So that ability to know that the mind is in a inner dialogue, and the nature of that inner dialogue, the tone, the attitude, the like and the dislike, and the kind of feeling that may be going with it, like is it anger or lust or aversion, or, you know, and those qualities of the mind, those are, you know, like water isn't ignorant, you know, like that's a fair ignorant glass of water, like it doesn't make any sense, like that's a stupid hand, you know, I mean people say it sometimes, I bang my hand, why? Because my hand is stupid, you know, of course that's we say these things, but it doesn't mean anything, you know, we talk about the car as she, you know, my car as she. Great car, you know, like she is not a car, but we talk about she is a car, you know. So this is this, we understand the qualities, the properties of the mind. Like this is really what the Buddhists are doing. They're looking into their heart and they're understanding the properties, and then you get skillful with the properties that you're given. So as we go into our meditation now tonight, we're going to take a property of the mind that sometimes people criticize, and we're going to look at it and develop, use it to maybe access a sense of forgiveness, as we've been talking about, and a sense of relief from the pains that we've been talking about, that we've touched on tonight. And we're going to use this ability of the mind to have an inner dialogue going on that's beneficial to ourselves, that's wholesome and beneficial. You know, so in a way you can say certain kinds of meditation are a kind of an inner dialogue. And then you can just get more and more silent in your dialogue. You know, if you like, speech is just the improvement on the silence. You know, like music is the improvement on the silence. Like a beautiful piece of music is something that improves the silence. You know, bad music is disrupting the silence, right? Good music is enhancing the silence. And good, beautiful words and well spoken are enhancing the silence as well. So, you know, we can develop longer pauses between, you know, allowing more beautiful things to arise in our heart and have more skill over them. Okay. I wanted to touch on this whole topic of forgiveness, actually. It's a really profound topic for me and something that I incorporate a lot into my practice, and especially this topic about how our childhood plays a major role in our formation and how it can come back to be reparented later on in life. Like, I think most of us are a mature enough age in the room of where now we have this opportunity to be the parent that maybe we didn't have at a certain time in our life. We can be that caregiver, and that ability to use that inner speech to it would be really useful to have a speaker, I have to say. Not because of that. I'm going to play something. I'm sure you can, but I was hoping to play something, actually. This ability to use our inner dialogue to be that parent, to be that caregiver in our difficulties, in our present time, and not to have to act out on those old habits, those old wounds, those old learnings, those old responses that we had, you know, where we learned to, maybe we didn't have people to model good behavior from. Like, this is something that's been very, very useful in my own personal life, so that I can take care of myself, you know, and this is a wonderful power and gift that I have, to take care of myself, and so that I'm no longer like in that inner dialogue with, you know, you've ruined my life, shall we say, you know, and I can take power over my own life. I can take responsibility, and I can take management over my own life. So that's something really, really important to me. I'm going to start with we'll just start and. Maybe you can just, if you want to, you can practice with your eyes open or closed to anybody who's new. You might find it a little, if you are feeling secure enough in the room to close your eyes, because you'll find that it's less distractive. And just imagine it's like the GPS in your car, you know, that you're just following the instructions. And, you know, when it says go left, and when it says go right, and don't argue too much with the voice, all right? So I'd just like you to recall a time, you know, I'd like you to imagine there was a little baby crying, you know, maybe it was one of your own children or some, you know, niece or nephew or child that you know. And I'd really like you to recall that memory of taking that young crying baby into your arms and trying to console it and trying to cradle that little baby and just try to help that little baby to settle down. And maybe do a little investigation into the causes or the symptoms of its suffering. But the baby can't really tell you what the problem is or where the problem is. So you have to kind of use your own intuition. But ultimately, I think we need to just communicate to that baby through our contact, through our cradling, through our cooing and just speaking very nicely to the baby, that we're here and we wish for the baby to suffer less. So this may this suffering baby be suffering free.
So I'd really like you to imagine cradling that baby. If it even helps you, you can slightly rock in your chair, or just like you would that baby. And please try to remember, if you can, as vividly as possible. And please select a positive experience for yourself. This is, don't pick a traumatic experience of a baby. Remember a time where, you know, maybe one of your own children or grandchildren was placed in your arms and, you know, was a little unsettled and you helped it to settle down. And we all really aspire and wish that this suffering baby be suffering free. May the suffering child be suffering free. And I'm just cradling that baby, and as the baby settles down, I can feel my own breathing is settling down. I can sort of let go of that tension that arises, because, you know, it can be a bit stressful when a baby is crying and upset. And I'm just trying to settle the baby. May this poor suffering baby be suffering free. May this suffering child be suffering free. May the suffering baby be suffering free. And just settling that baby down. And as I settle down, the baby settles down. As the baby settles down, I'm settling down. And I'm feeling more at ease, and I'm feeling more at comfort with this baby. So just calling this baby to mind. May the suffering baby be suffering free. May this suffering baby be suffering free. And now just let me just take this same compassionate feeling for the top of my own head. May this top of my head be suffering free. And may the back of my head be suffering free. So just I just have a sense of the back of my head. May the back of my head be suffering free. May the right side of my head be suffering free. Just similarly, taking care of the right side of my head, just as I would wish for that young baby to be suffering free. May the right side of my head be suffering free. just a general sense of attention to the right side of my head. I don't need to visualize it or see it, or just I know I'm talking kindly to the right side of my head. May the right side of my head be suffering free. And may the left side of my head be suffering free. May the left side of my head be suffering free. May my forehead, the front of my head, be suffering free. Just maybe you can just imagine tenderly kissing it like a father or a mother would kiss that child, just to let it know that it's been cared for and loved. May my forehead be suffering free. May my forehead be suffering free. May my eyes be suffering free. So I'm just speaking to my eyes, the eye sockets, that whole area around my eyes. May my eyes be suffering free. May these suffering eyes be suffering free. May my nose be suffering free. May the suffering nose be suffering free. And may my mouth be suffering free. May the suffering mouth be suffering free. And may my neck be suffering free. Again, just like I would hold that child crook in the crook of my arm, I would hold the neck very carefully. May my neck be suffering free. May my shoulders, my left and right shoulders, be suffering free. So just as if we were coming out from, you know, the shopping and we had the shopping bags, and we would feel a great relief to put down those shopping bags, the strain and tension out of the shoulders. Let's just give them permission to let go of any tension in the shoulders. Not get rid of it, just give it permission just to release and let go. So may my shoulders be suffering free. And may my arms, my left and right arm, be suffering free. May my hands be suffering free. May my hands be suffering free. Just a sense of where the hands are and how they feel. Bringing my attention, bending the mind towards the hand. May my chest be suffering free, my chest and lungs. I can really let go of any breath or tension. I'm just letting it go. Breathing in, breathing out. May my chest be suffering free, may my lungs be suffering free. May my heart be suffering free. Just a general sense of my heart. May my heart be suffering free. May my heart be suffering free. May my stomach and intestines be suffering free. So just the stomach and the intestines, the belly, that whole area. Just wishing that they be suffering free, just as I do for that little baby child. May this belly and intestines and stomach be suffering free. May my kidneys be suffering free. Any tension around the kidneys and the back, may it be suffering free. May my back, my middle back, upper back, lower back, the whole spine, radiating ribs, may my whole back be suffering free. Just like that child would have been, spine would have lain along my arms, may my back be suffering free. May my pelvis and hips be suffering free. May my pelvis and hips be suffering free. May my thighs be suffering free. May my knees be suffering free. May these suffering knees be suffering free. May my shin and calf be suffering free. May my ankle, heel, foot and toes be suffering free. Now let's put all of these body parts together, the feet, the legs, the torso, the arms, the neck and the head. And let me just, maybe just embrace this whole body of mine. Let me cradle this whole body of mine just like I was that child. May this whole body and mind of mine be suffering free, and let me just cradle myself very gently, very kindly, very compassionately. May I be suffering free. May the suffering me be suffering free. really taking that very kind, tender care of ourselves, of myself, this self, this body and mind. And just as I don't wish to suffer, now I'm going to just turn my attention towards everybody in the room. May everybody in this room be suffering free. I often just like to imagine I'm dropping a stone into a pond and the ripples are spreading quietly out wider and wider. So just radiating ripples of compassionate feeling towards everybody in this room, this just aspiration, this wish that everybody in this room be suffering free. Just as I wish to be suffering free, so too do I wish that all beings in this room be suffering free. May everybody in this room be suffering free. And again, wider out into the whole hospital complex around us, many people suffering in this hospital. May all people in this hospital be suffering free. Whether they're the patients or the clinicians, the doctors, the nurses, the staff, all of them have their difficulties and their sufferings. May they all be suffering free. May they be all well and happy and peaceful and prosperous. May they be all suffering free. And now just spreading it out wider across the whole community of Armidale, all around us, Kelmscott, this whole area around us. May all in this area around us be suffering free. Every living being, whatever living beings there may be, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, may all beings around us be suffering free. Even as a mother would protect with her life her child, her only child, so too with a boundless heart do we wish that all beings around us be suffering free. And now we embrace and cradle the whole of Perth. May all beings in Perth be suffering free. And whatever living being there may they be suffering free. And now maybe we can just pick up the whole of Australia and wish that all beings in Australia be suffering free tonight. May everybody on this great red island be suffering free. May all beings in Australia be suffering free. We just spread it out a little wider to our neighbors in Indonesia, New Zealand, all around us, south into Tasmania and the Antarctic, the whole region around us. May all beings in this whole region be suffering free. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, may they be suffering free. And now I'd like to go through the Southeast Asia, the whole block, the whole region of Southeast Asia, Singapore, Thailand, Burma, Laos, Cambodia, the Philippines, this whole region, may it be suffering free. And let's just follow the setting sun into the west. May all beings in South Asia, India, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Nepal, Pakistan, this whole region, may it all be suffering free. May all beings in South Asia be suffering free tonight. Whatever living being there may be, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, may all beings in South Asia be suffering free tonight. As we move through the Middle East, through Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Syria, Israel, Palestine, Yemen, Beirut, in Lebanon, this whole region be suffering free. May all beings in the Middle East be suffering free. And we can move through Africa, the whole continent of Africa, from Egypt to Morocco to South Africa. This whole continent, may all beings, all people, all animals, all beings, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, may all beings in Africa be well and happy and peaceful and prosperous. May they be free from all suffering. And we can move up north into Europe through the boot of Italy to Sweden, from Portugal to Turkey, from Ireland to Russia, this whole region, may it all be suffering free. May all beings in Europe be suffering free. Just a general sense and a great aspiration that beings in this region be suffering free. We can cross the Atlantic to the Americas, North America, Central America, South America. May all in the Americas be suffering free. May this whole region of the world be suffering free. And we cross the Pacific to China, China and all around China, Japan, Korea, Mongolia, Tibet, Vietnam, this whole region, may it all be suffering free. Let's just step back from the planet and just imagine we can now put the whole globe, the whole planet Earth in our arms, just like that young and dear and tender child. May this whole planet Earth be suffering free. Just like it was a ball, this planet Earth, this very delicate place that we live upon, this planet that supports our welfare and our happiness, may all beings on this planet Earth be suffering free. May this suffering planet be suffering free. May all beings on this planet be suffering free. So let's just let down this child of the planet, and I like to relax over where the sun is. I'm going to just walk over and sit down where the sun is, like it was a couch or a comfortable chair. I like to imagine I'm floating on a swimming pool, you know, just on a floaty. And all around me in all directions, may all beings in all directions, north, south, east, west, above and below, just like the beautiful stars at night at the moment, we have a new moon, so it's very dark, but we can see the beautiful stars and planets and the galaxies, so beautiful in the night sky, in all directions. May all beings in all directions be suffering free. So just as the sun is radiating its light in all directions, so too do I wish that all beings in all directions are suffering free, radiating outwards just like a radiating light of the sun. May all beings in all directions be suffering free. And as I sit here in my comfortable chair, I can slowly start to bring my attention to my breathing, the breathing in and breathing out. And as I breathe in the whole universe, and as I breathe out, I connect with that whole universe, and I'm connected by this breath of air, but also by this like umbilical cord of connection between myself and the whole universe, connected by suffering, my own suffering and the suffering of other beings, and the universal wish that we all be suffering free. With great compassionate feeling, I wish suffer free. I can use this little mantra as I breathe in, suffer free. This great desire, this great wish that we all be suffering free. Sometimes when I'm stressed, I sometimes put my hand on my belly, or also I can just put it on my heart, and feeling that breathing in and breathing out, that connection of my own suffering with the suffering of the whole world. knowing that I'm not so special in some ways, that this is my connection between self and other and other and self. And I can be with and make peace with my own suffering and suffering of others. Not ignoring it, not being numb to my suffering or the suffering of others. And not wallowing in that suffering that I'm experiencing or that others are experiencing. But finding this comfortable distance between suffering as it's arising in the world for me right now. Whether the suffering is in my own body and mind or in the body and minds of others, may, and this universal wish that suffering be suffering free, and just breathing into it with all of my heart, this great wish, suffer free. I don't need to repeat the mantra too much, just enough to stay with the breath, taking delightful interest in the breath. Knowing that this breath is a connection between self and the world and self. Connection with suffering, and also this aspiration for the alleviation of suffering, that suffering be diminished in some way, that suffering go down, that this is the slant, slope, and incline of a wholesome mind, that we wish that there be less and less suffering in the world. But at the same time, knowing that this connection with the world is a connection through suffering. So my challenge in life is to not expose myself to too much suffering on the one hand, but not to numb and ignore it on the other hand, but just to breathe into it, find a comfortable distance from my own suffering and the suffering of others, and breathe into it. May I be suffering free. May all beings be suffering free. Suffer free. Not wanting the suffering to go away, but just having a relationship with the suffering. And distinguishing at some level between pain and suffering. Pain is maybe the difficulties that are arising because of the difficulty of the situation, of the temperature, of the painful feeling in the body. And then the mental aspect of suffering. That I don't like this, I don't want this. I wish it to be gone. I reject this experience of pain in my life. Instead, just finding a way to calm and soothe myself so that I can bear witness to my own suffering and I can be with it in a way where I'm neither too far or too near the suffering in my life. I've taken a comfortable perspective on my life, on my suffering. Where I see suffering as just part of the whole tapestry of my life. One of the many threads that joins me or ties me to this world, connects me to this world. Now that I've developed this state of mind of compassionate feeling, just like that child might have been very quietened and settled down now, and after being so disturbed earlier on, you know, maybe that child is very gentle and peaceful now, cradling in our arms. Sometimes we wish to share our love for the child and bath it in that sense of love and kindness and care. Dear child, dear little child, I just love watching you breathe and grow. I will be here for you to test your boundaries and to find out your limits. It's okay for you to think for yourself, dear little child. You can think about your feelings and have feelings about what you are thinking. Dear little child, I love your life energy. I love your curiosity. Dear little child, it's okay to find out the differences between being male and female, of being a man or a woman. Dear little child, I'll set the limits for you to help you find out who you are. Dear little child, I just love you the way you are. Little child, it's okay for you to be different, to have your own views on things. Dear little child, it's okay to imagine things without being afraid that they'll come true. I'll help you separate the fantasy from reality. Dear little child, I love that you are a boy. Dear little child, I love that you are a girl. Dear little child, it's okay to cry even though you're growing up. Dear child, it's okay for you to find out the consequences of your own behavior. You can ask for what you want, my dear child. You can ask questions if sometimes or something confuses you. Dear little child, you're not responsible for your parents' marriage. Dear little child, you're not responsible for your dad. Dear little child, you're not responsible for your mum. Dear little child, you are not responsible for the family's problems. Dear little child, you are not responsible for your parents' divorce. It's okay to explore who you are, my dear little child. Dear little child, it's okay to be curious, to want, to look, to touch and taste things. I'll make it safe for you to explore. I love you just the way you are, dear little child. I'm here to take care of your needs. I don't have to have you take care of mine. Dear little child, it's okay for you to be taken care of. It's okay for you to be that little child. Dear little child, it's okay to say no. Little child, I'm glad to be with you. I want you to be you. Dear little child, it's okay for both of us to be mad. We will work our problems out. Dear little child, it's okay to feel scared when you do things your way. Dear little child, it's okay to feel sad when things don't work out for you. Dear little child, I will not leave you no matter what. Dear little child, you can be you and still count on me being there for you. Dear little child, I love watching you learn to walk and talk. I love watching you separate and start to grow up. I love and value you, my dear little child. Dear little child, I welcome you into the world. I've been waiting for you. Dear little child, I'm so glad that you are here. Dear little child, I've prepared a special place for you to live. I like you just the way you are, my dear. I will not leave you no matter what. Dear child, your needs are okay with me. I'll give you all the time you need to get your needs met. I'm so glad that you're a boy. I'm so glad that you're a girl. Dear child, I want to take care of you, and I'm prepared to do that. Dear child, I like feeding you, bathing you, changing you, and spending time with you. In all the world, there has never been another child like you. The gods really smiled when you were born. Dear child, you can be who you are at school. You can stand up for yourself, and I will support you. Dear child, it's okay to learn to do things your own way. Dear child, it's okay to learn about things and try them out before you make them your own. Dear child, you can trust your own judgments. You need only take the consequences of your choices. Dear child, you can do things your own way, and it's okay to disagree. I love you just the way you are, dear child. You can trust your own feelings. If you're afraid, just tell me. Dear child, it's okay to be afraid. We can talk about it. Dear child, you can choose your own friends. Dear child, you can just dress the way other kids dress, or you can dress your own way. Dear child, you deserve to have the things you want. Dear child, I'm willing to be with you no matter what. I love you, little child. So just embracing that child, embracing that breath with great kindness, with great compassionate feeling, wishing for the well-being and the prosperity of this little child, this body and mind of mine. And just as I wish to be free from all suffering, so too do I wish that all beings in all directions be suffering free. May all beings in all directions be suffering free. And we wish that all beings be well and happy and peaceful and suffering free. Let them be free from all suffering. So as we start to come to the end of this guided meditation, maybe I can just reflect on how do I feel in my heart. Just as we might describe a restaurant to somebody, you know, what is the tone, what is the ambience? Was it a comfortable place? Did they treat me nicely? Did I feel loved and cared for? Or how do I feel in my heart right now? Do I feel rough or smooth? Does my heart feel heavy or light? Do I feel I'm going from a bright place to a brighter place? Or am I going from a dark place to a bright place? How do I feel in my heart? Does my heart feel stiff or malleable and wieldy? What is this feeling in my heart? What is the tone? What is the ambience? Is it like a pop song jingling busy in my heart, or is it more quiet? Is it somber? Is it relaxed? Is it tense? What is the nature of my heart? I'm just inquiring. I'm just opening this space in my heart and being with it and being a connoisseur of my heart, of this space in my heart. What is the nature of my heart in this time? Does this feel okay? Does this feel like it's going in a direction I enjoy, or it's beneficial or wholesome for me? We touched tonight on this idea of actually forgiveness, and how we can use compassion, the cultivation of compassionate feeling, as an approach to forgiving ourselves, to being a little bit less harsh on ourselves and speaking kindly to ourselves. And it can take a little bit of while, you know. When I was young, we would get salted pork, you know, we would get bacon, and sometimes it's very salty, you know, so you'd have to soak it in water for a while to try to soak out, leach out the salt, to make it less salty, you know. And you know, sometimes we need to soak out the bitterness of life a little bit, you know. And I find this, you know, we want to forgive ourselves. You know, we've had a difficulty, we've had a hard time, we've had a hard word said to us, or we're saying those hard words to ourselves in our minds, and it's quite bitter. And, you know, when I recognize that bitterness in my heart, you know, I know that that's suffering, and I recognize that it's suffering, I acknowledge that's suffering, and I try to take care of it. And this way of compassion is one of the ways that I, one of the tools that I use to handle suffering, because the object of this this compassion meditation that we've been dealing with tonight is suffering itself. So I hope it wasn't a traumatic experience for any of you in the room, but I mean, did you realize that we actually took suffering as the object of our meditation tonight? Mm-hmm. Isn't it quite extraordinary that we can do this? If somebody had said to you earlier on, or you know, you're talking to your mates tomorrow morning and they say, what were you doing? Well, he asked us to think about suffering for at least a solid half an hour or more. I'm like, what the hell were you doing? You know, like, you know, this isn't that a bit crazy? But it's very counterintuitive that actually by abiding, you know, to live with our suffering, to really live with it. And you know, we normally like to resist suffering. We want to push it away. We want to get rid of it. You know, we want to gratify ourselves. We want to go out and treat ourselves. We want to pamper ourselves. You know, we want to do anything but actually be with suffering itself. But this ability and this skill to actually abide with my own suffering is, in fact, the way into compassion. You know, there's a lot of people are, you know, they're talking about compassion these days, you know, compassion, I have a bit of compassion for somebody, but actually they're just talking about sympathy, you know. And sympathy is just where I recognize that somebody's suffering and I hope to hell they can get lost, you know. And actually empathy is putting ourselves in the shoes of another, but it can be quite surprising how difficult it can be to put ourselves in our own shoes, in our own suffering. You know, we can really be the biggest deniers of our own suffering ever. You know, how are you? Fine. How's things? Grand. How's the parents? Lovely. How are the kids? Terrific. Everything is great. You know, and it's just this completely innocuous, inauthentic, you know, because nobody wants to say Terrible, thanks for asking. I really recommend that podcast, by the way. There is a podcast called Terrible, Thanks for Asking. And that's what they talk about. They talk about the most horrific things in life. And it's the most beautiful, touching little podcast ever. And I listen to it because it I use it to help cultivate my empathy and my compassion and my connection with the world. Because we can become very inured, very inoculated, very numb. I had to look up a word today, this week. It was called anodyne. You know, it's this ability to numb. We can become very numb to the world. You know, just watching the news, reading the newspaper. Oh, another bomb, another bus rolled over. You know, next page. Oh, bloody team lost. You know, Ireland got beaten by the Brits. I mean, how bad is that? I don't know if any of you are watching. Four tries. Genie Mac collapse. But you know, this gift of compassion has been a great gift in my life, that I don't have to actually reject suffering. I don't have to find a smart answer and a smart way out of my own suffering or the suffering of others, you know. You know, I can actually say I feel it and I get it, and I can feel it in my own body, you know. And the more skillful I get at compassion, you know, somebody, you know, it's like one of those things about, you know, if you see some a video of somebody, you know, a kid getting the door slamming on their hand or something, and you're like, oh gee, that's painful. But that you can get that kind of, you become so sensitive to the taste of suffering in the end. Somebody says to me, like, okay, I had this, and I'm really interested, you know. People are like, that's really strange, this person's very interested in my suffering, you know. It becomes like a tasting for me. I don't mean in it in a sort of superficial way, but in my heart, and I'm trying to imagine that experience and that suffering, and you know, I try to relate it in some ways to my own experience, and sometimes I have to say, I have no idea about that kind of suffering. Can you tell me more? I mean, it's so extraordinary how suffering can manifest and move through people's lives, and you know, it's amazing. You know, it's an amazing phenomena. The particular ways that we can suffer, you know, it's like suffering is limitless in imagination, and how it can find ways to affect people's lives. But here's this gift of compassion as a kind of a way of, like, you could say, putting on the oven gloves or the welding gloves, whatever you want to call, of handling suffering. You know, we're not trained, we're not taught how to handle suffering. A lot of times it's just, oh, suck it up, you know, man up, especially men, man up, you know. What are you crying, you little baby? You know, all these horrible things. You know, you're not allowed to suffer, you're not shown how to suffer, you know, and how to actually, in a wise way, just hold it in our hands, hold it in our heart, and actually taste it, do you know? And it can be just the most beautiful gift to somebody who is in genuine suffering to actually say, you know what, I see you, I hear you, I feel you. This is, you know, I acknowledge your suffering. And I still acknowledge you're a beautiful person, and I hope we can find a solution to this. I hope we can find a way through this suffering. And I feel connected to you because of your suffering. You are more real to me. And I remember the first week I was staying in the monastery, above us in Anagarika, you know, wearing white, and I went to a funeral. I was driving Ajahn Brahm to a funeral, and I felt so happy to be at a funeral, you know. I felt so happy because I spent several years sometimes in Singapore, and that, like, where nobody seems to have, you know, nobody seems to die. There's no obvious funerals in the city or anything like that. Death is extremely tidy, you know, it's a very tidy affair. And, you know, now I do services. I was doing a funeral like a few months ago. I was doing a funeral, and I remember, my gosh, you know, it was like, you know, I really found some of the family were quite out of it in terms of, like, they were not showing up to their own funeral, if you know what I mean. Like, they were just really not, it was like, how's things, fine, you know, it's great, you know, and thanks for coming. And it was just like, you know, hang on a second here, can we breathe into this difficult situation, and can we slow down here, and can we remember the person who has passed on? So suffering is a beautiful melody. It's a slow dance, you know, it isn't a disco. And a kindred spirit to this compassion is grief, you know. And the, you know, grief healthily done is sad. You know, the melody is sad. I don't know if any of you know, like Chopin, he would play the beautiful sad music, very sad. Or you listen to a sad melody, it can draw you in. And sadness can have that quality of drawing in our friends. You know, it's like, oh, you're sad. Can I do anything for you? Or, you know, you're not jizzing around. And somebody said, "What? How are you? I'm sad, actually. I feel a bit sad." So it gives us gives us permission to slow down. And but I find when I allow myself to be sad, to be sad and grieve, I actually process change very well. You know, I was at home in Ireland, and it has changed a lot. I hadn't been back. I'd visited, but I hadn't spent any time in Ireland. You know, you can be just in a tunnel vision when you're visiting family. You know, if you've lived overseas, if you're a migrant, you're very quickly visiting. Or even if you're in Australia, you're visiting your family in the East Coast or something like that. You're just, you know, you go back, you see your old mates and friends, and then you're back out again. You don't see the rest of society. I hadn't seen Irish society in 20 years. And I had this weird phenomenon. I was just going down teaching a meditation class on a Friday night. It was like bucketing rain. It was Friday night on a February in Ireland. It's very wet, cold, miserable night. And I'm waiting for a bus. And I knew the bus, because it was right, I think it was my old university bus, the number 10. And I couldn't find the 10. It was, you know, it was on that route. And I stopped one of the buses and I got on and I said, "Where's the 10? And he said to me, "There's no 10. I was reeling, and I got off the bus and I said, "You know, I knew this bus was like one of these legendary buses that went right across the city, you see." No, 10 had been cancelled. And I asked a lot of my friends. I said, "You know, the 10 is gone." And they were like, "No." And it was a guy who lived beside one of the terminals of the 10, and I said, "Do you know the 10 is gone?" He said, "No, I didn't even notice, you know, he's driving his car." But to me, it was this little tragedy that had gone on in my heart, that that my little world had kind of turned upside down, that I couldn't find, you know, like I was like some complete idiot. I didn't know that there was no 10, that it was like, there is no 10, you know? It's like, you know, had I, you know. But, you know, I understood that I was in sadness. I understood that I was in grief, and I could catch it and be with it with a great compassionate feeling and have compassion for myself, you know? And, you know, that's such a gift that this kind of meditation gives me, you know? So like earlier on, I was serving you. Is there something that we can talk about? You know, and all of us now are at an age of where we are mature enough to be that parent that I was just talking about in those, what I would call affirmations, you know? That I love you, little child. That I can say that to myself, and I can be that parent to myself. And I can love and take care of myself and not repeat that kind of inner dialogue of, you silly little bugger, you lazy cow, you fat this, and, you know, whatever, this horrible diatribe that's going on in our heart. You know, and there's good psychological research that we pick up all this dialogue between the ages of about 3 and 7. There was a very pioneering Russian psychologist who did a lot of this kind of work, who, you know, and I know in my own mind, you know, that inner dialogue, that inner tape was like, you know, a little cut and paste of the dialogue that was going on. And a lot of it was directed towards myself. Often was saying my grandmother was scolding my dad, you know, he was a lazy bugger. You know, so I learned, like, don't be lazy, don't be lazy, don't be lazy, work hard, work hard, work hard. You know, like later on in my life, I'm a workaholic. You know, why? You know, a little tape is playing at high speed. Work hard, work hard, work hard, work hard. You know, juggle more balls, but juggle more balls. You can carry it. You can carry the load, you know? And that kind of thing is getting taped right there in our early childhood. And if I want to slow down that tape, I need to start listening to my heart. I need to hear that inner speech. And sometimes, you know, every now and again, you know, you'll hear the most offensive things. It's like, what the heck? you know, do you know this inner voice has said, really? You know, write it down. It's like, and you know, sometimes you have to be quiet and think back, where the hell did I hear that? You know, and you know, really, is that really true? Do you know, and we can take things, we can take offense later on if we don't like at some stage take off that festering bandage that's covering our wound, you know, these childhood wounds, and open it up to daylight. Because that's where shame is. Shame is like, you know, mushrooms, you know, something that grows in the dark and you feed it shit. That's the mushroom, and that's shame. It grows in the dark and it's fed shit. That's shame. And shame is, I'm not good enough. Oh, you little fat, you know, you stupid, you know, I'm not good enough. Or somehow I should be better than, or I am better than, you're better than those people. You know, or, you know, they're all the same. You're all the same. No, we're not all the same. You know, I don't have the same qualifications as you, or you don't have as me. I don't have the same skills as you, or you don't have as me. We're all different. But, you know, in my own mind, I'm constantly evaluating and judging others and judging myself. Oh, I'm not as good as that person, or I'm better than that person, or I'm the same as that person. And that's the shit that shame is going to feed on, because it's going to go, there you are, you know, again, stupid as usual, you know, going off, some little dialogue in my mind. And if that happens, then, you know, my shoulders are going down and I'm sort of collapsing here into myself and I'm feeling the shame. And shame is very powerful and it's a very painful feeling. And I don't like that. So that'll change very quickly to anger or sadness or depression or anxiety or something else. It'll quickly go out. So it took me a long time to watch anger and see that before I was angry, I was actually anxious. And before I was anxious, I was actually in shame. I was anxious. Why was I anxious? Because I thought I was a complete twit next to this other person. Or they had said something that made me, put me down, put me on my spot, you know? And I had taken it on board, you know? You know? And it can be anything. And it can be the craziest thing. I had somebody once come up to me and said, you smell. Do you know? I thought it was quite funny at the time, but that's, I could have actually gone the other way of like collapsing and just been really offended or something like that. Or, you know, I mean, it just because I wear the robe doesn't protect me from people saying strange things to me. You know, people come up and kind of go, you know, you religious buggers and, you know, blodgers, dull blodgers, you know, good for nothing. You know, Hare Krishna, Krishna's, you know, useless. And I would walk across Dublin City, and I remember one night, it was a nice summer's evening, and a lot of people drinking on a Friday night after work, and five different places across the city, people went, Harry, you know, Harry. And it wasn't like being funny, you know. It was kind of insulting, you know, it was just kind of like derogatory. You know, it was me on my way down to my meditation class. But so I have to keep this constant inner dialogue going on in my head of like playing a nice tape, playing these affirmations. It's okay, little boy, we're going to take care of you. It's, you know, I take responsibility for my own actions and consequences. And, you know, even if I am this weird looking guy walking across the city, I'm okay with it. I'm okay in my own skin. I'm okay with my own fashion, our choices of clothing, our choices in life, you know. And, you know, I keep a short list of people whose opinion about me really matters. You know, and if you're not on that list, I'm sorry, your opinion about me doesn't matter a whole lot. It really doesn't, you know. You know, I have people who I trust that, you know, they have my back. Essentially, they have my back. That's their key thing. You know, and often they won't, you know, I'll say to them, well, you know, what, do you have any advice for me in this situation? And they're like, not really, you know, or, you know, it might take them a while to poke it out of them. It's like, you could have a little bit more humility or something, or, you know, you could be less aggressive, or you could suffer fools more gladly, or whatever. But, you know, the other people, like, they don't really matter a whole lot to me. You know what I mean? I call it, you know, it's just having, you know, your inner circle of friends. And then you have your medium circle of friends, and then you have your distant friends. And again, in Ireland, I went through, it was a very painful experience. I had to prune a lot of my relationships. People who historically were close to me were not that close anymore. I mean, things had drifted. Situation changed. I'd been away for 20 years, living overseas. Now I'm a weird monk. You know, we weren't going to be in Scoops of Guinness or something, you know. It was like a different experience. I don't eat supper. There's a lot of things I don't do, you know. And that constant ability to tap into this inner dialogue and retrain the tape, you know, reprogram the tape, you know, retrain it. Now that's a skill, and that's a worthwhile effort to do. So when that little nasty voice sparks off in my head, I go, ah, there you are, there you are. And I worked very, very hard. For me, shame was a very difficult emotion to get to, because I found it's just so painful for me. Quite shamed a lot as a kid, put down a lot. My dad had a lot of shame wounds. Like, he was really a narcissist. Like, you know, the core wound of a narcissist is shame. Donald Trump is a very shamed individual. You know, his only way of getting any affection from his dad was to be great. You know, make America great again. Make Donald Trump great again. Hello, Daddy. Give me a hug, you know. And so the core wound of a narcissist is shame. My dad had a lot of shame, you know. He had a lot of shame, and he was a tough character to be around, but you know, so he gave me a lot of shame as a kid, and that was a very difficult emotion for me to make friends with. But shame is a very, very helpful emotion. It's a very weird emotion, shame. It has two aspects, toxic and positive. So the positive aspect of shame is I would be ashamed to be seen to be doing that. You know, some of the criminals that are up in the jail next door to us in the monastery, they lack shame in certain areas. They think it's okay to relieve people of their property because they weren't looking after it in the first place. Just weren't looking after it. Or, you know, it's amazing, you know, the different lines that the various different types of criminals will have. You know, but they lack shame in a certain area. They think it's okay. You know, it's okay to be shameless. Donald Trump is shameless. He thinks it's okay to just say ridiculous things about people and be very hurting and insulting. You know, so he lacks shame in a healthy sense of moral code, moral etiquette. But there's a toxic side of shame, which is that is this judgment. I am not good enough. You know, I am fill in the blank. Fill in all that little hate speech in there. And that's shame speaking. And to catch that, in action and make friends with it, and you know, put it into cradle mode, you know, I'm going to love this little child and take care of it, is a phenomenal ability and skill. But it starts with, you know, the practice session like we're doing tonight, but just take that self speech out into the world, you know. So when somebody cuts you off in traffic, it's not because you're a loser, okay? Are you, you know? And we, you know, we don't have to act out. We can catch that, like, where you want to go out and thump the person and go, hang on a second here, let me take care of myself. You know, or our kids, you know, mess up, and it's sort of like it becomes an evaluation of, like, where it's like, you know, God, that makes me look bad, you know, or something like that. It's like, hang on a second, let me take care of this little kid in here that feels bad because my kid has, you know, had some choices, you know. So this ability of, you know, using compassion, and like we did in that meditation at the very end, we sort of slightly switched it to a metta, loving kindness, and then I was using those affirmations, speaking very kindly to this little baby that's ourselves. I don't know if you found that transition from where we did the body, you know, the baby, the body part, and then back to the whole body. Did any of you find that kind of interesting experience? Where I said, put the whole body back together again and cradle, and it's yourself that is the baby? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very important experience where we can have compassion for others, but not for ourselves. It can be very hard to get to that compassion for ourselves. And then, you know, but it's very important to also have compassion for the world. So it comes to that dialogue, you know, with, for everybody in the room, with the world, you know, and then in all directions, and then into the breath. Like, these are all different meditations. You can actually take any of those out. If you just like doing the directions, that's okay. If you like doing the bits of the planet, that's okay. If you like doing the body parts, that's okay. They're all different meditations. You could just take each one out separately, or just you and the baby. That's enough too, you know? But generally, have compassion for yourself, have compassion for other. That's, you definitely need to be doing that. Because you need to create this virtuous cycle. You can't have compassion only for another. That's not virtuous. You need to bring it back for yourself, but you can't only have compassion for yourself. You have to have it for others. So it's both. That's the swing. And using that kind of simple idea, I like that visual imagery, and make it real. You know, sometimes pick up a pillow. I'm teaching children. I tell them, get a pillow or a doll. They can do it. You know, I'll tell you about one of my star students. She was 12 years old. Her mother had cancer. I was teaching a cancer family, group support system. She was 12. Her mother had cancer. She had missed quite a bit of primary school. Like, her, she was in sixth class. 12 years old, end of primary school last year. So she was. I was teaching her this exact compassion meditation, what she called rock the baby meditation, and. So I taught her, then the following week she had this exam, Christmas exam. And she had missed quite a bit of class, and her teacher was mean and hadn't gone over the maths exam beforehand. So she was doing the maths exam. So she did the first few questions. She could figure that out. And then she hit the second page and she just froze up. And she's quite an anxious character because she has this anxiety that her mother is going to die as well. And she froze up in the thing, and then she remembered to do this rock the baby. So she rocked the baby. She got settled down, and then she went back and figured it out without having attended quite a bit of maths classes. She had missed quite a bit of class, and she figured it out, and she did very well. So I said, Olivia, how did you do? And she said, I think I got, what was it again she said? She said, I think I got between 70 and 80. And I said, how would you have done if you didn't rock the baby? 49, very precise. And I said, okay. So then in the January, I met her again, and I said, how did you do in the exam, Olivia? And she said she got 73, and she'd come second in the class because the smart boy had gone ahead of her in the class. And I said, well, I think all things considered, Olivia, you did very, very well, and I think you're the star of the class, really, you know? So look, if 12-year-olds can do it, you can do it too, you know? So just please deploy this in your life, and the next time you run into either that inner speech or just life's little vicissitudes, as they're called, the ups and downs, please take it as a gift to practice, compassionate feeling for yourself and for others, and that connection that actually suffering gives us in the world. So I've run the clock to 8:30, but I'm very happy to take any questions or. Did you enjoy it? Anybody offended?
No. The only thing I feel is if we sort of blame our parents, but their parents. Did that to them, didn't they? It goes back generations.
Mm. Yeah, but it's a gift to, we can stop, stop the dominoes falling. You put your own little, the little board between the dominoes falling. Like, that's what I like about it. Okay, fine. I'm not here to blame my parents. Fine, they all make their mistakes, and nobody comes with a manual into the world of parenting. But I can. It's what I choose to do with it now. I'm old enough to hold the steering wheel of a car, so I need to take responsibility now for my own reactions and responses. I can't keep saying, "Oh, it's the bloody parents." I mean, it might have been, but at the same time, it doesn't excuse me right now. You know what I'm saying? And I can separate it out. I can have that perspective and go, they could have done certain things a bit better, fine, but what am I going to do now? I think that gives me a lot of agency, a lot of power. I don't, I, you know, where the first cause is, I don't need to get into, you know.
It's nice to be strong, don't
you? Well, we don't need to find out, you know, which came first, you know. I can now kind of, you know, just take care of myself, and I can stop that kind of lineage going on. I think that's very empowering. I was watching the marathon. There was a marathon, and you know the way that people dress up sometimes for the marathons. One dressed up as a chicken, and the other one as an egg. I was fascinated. I was really, you know. They both came together, actually. the Buddhist answer to that one. Any other questions? Or do you want to wrap up, and you can always just come up afterwards or whatever? You're welcome. Thank you.